our Bibles to Luke chapter 17. I'll try to go through this as quickly as I can. I know all of us are eager to get to the food. For those of you who don't have tents for the camping trip, the weather is nice, so don't worry about it. You just bring a sleeping bag, look at the stars. No, we'll provide tents for you. All right. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. This is the, for those of you who have grown up in church or been around church for a while, you will be familiar with this as the story of the 10 lepers, okay? Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Let's pray. Father God, we come to this particular Sunday each year, a Sunday that we have set apart to focus on what it means to be thankful, what it means to live in gratitude. And Father, we want to ask that your Spirit would speak to us through this passage, that you will remind us what it truly means to fall at your feet in gratitude. Father God, help us to be not the 9 who did not return, but the 1 who did. And help us to cultivate that, not just today, but throughout the year and all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I want to just kind of go straight to the text. There are 3 points, and I will kind of go through them really fast. There are a lot of material in there, so I do want you to kind of hear me, but there's nothing I'm going to say that we haven't heard before. Thanksgiving is something that all of us are very familiar with. So there will be more reminders, there will be more or less reminders for us about what it means to be thankful to God. Today's passage in Luke 17, and I don't know if you guys remember a couple of years ago, maybe more than a couple of years ago, we did do a series on Luke. Today's passage is a short little narrative about 10 lepers and one who returned. And I want to focus on the Thanksgiving aspect, the fact that the Samaritan returned and gave thanks to Jesus. And that's sort of what I want to focus on. But I would be amiss if I didn't point out that one of the main points of this passage, it is important that when we read the Bible that we understand it in its context, right? So the context of this passage, the point that the author, probably Luke, is wanting to make in this story is that this person who returned was a Samaritan, okay? So I don't want us to lose the sight of one of the main points of this story, namely that the blessings of God, that God's mercies flows out to people that we think are outside that doesn't meet the criteria, outside of the chosen people. That the people we least expect to be blessed by God, the people we least expect to be the recipient of God's mercies, are the very ones that God indeed reaches out to you. And that's a Samaritan, right? The way the story is written is that the fact that he's a Samaritan isn't revealed until the very end. It says that the one person returns and gives thanks to Jesus, and then almost like a surprise, the storyteller says, and he was a Samaritan. It's like for the Christians, you know, there is a blessing, there's a privilege to being a Christian, a follower of Jesus. But oftentimes, we could also get into the mindset that we are the blessed, right? And that there are people who may be outside of God's mercy. You know, people who are evil. People we consider, I wrote them down, but I don't want to actually say, you know, people we consider that outside of God's grace. But these are the ones that God does reach out to, and it is a surprise. And so that is sort of the main point of this text, and I don't want us to lose sight of that as we look at the element of Thanksgiving. Having said that, I want us to look at the question for me is this, when I read this text, and the question that I came to for this Sunday as Thanksgiving Sunday is this, is what made this one person, one man, come back, whereas the other nine didn't, right? Isn't that what we want to know when we read the story, is what brought this one person back? Because when all is said and done, we want to be like the one. We don't want to be the nine, right? Isn't that part of the sort of the telling of this tale, is that we are admonished and encouraged to be like the Samaritan and be the one who returns? So I want us to look at this short passage and see what it is that made this Samaritan come back to Jesus, and what are some of the lessons that we can draw from that for our lives. Now, in a short story like this, in a short account like this one, a lot of details aren't given, right? We don't go into the lives of the 10 lepers in detail and try to figure out the psychology of the nine. Like, what was it in their life that made them not come back? You know, what was special in the... Those details are not given to us. In a short account like this, very few details are given. So we need to pay attention to the details that are given in a text like this, because they are the ones that the author wants us to focus on, right? So what are some of the clues that we get from the text about why the Samaritan came back and thanked Jesus, and what is it that we can learn from him? And the first thing that we learn about why this person came back, the only difference, and it's important to note, in verse 17, look with me, Jesus said, "We're not all 10 cleansed," okay? So if we were to ask what was different about the one Samaritan who came back, the answer isn't that he got something special, that he got a special healing that the other nine didn't. That's not what the text tells us. I think Jesus' question is there intentionally. Jesus says, "We're not all 10 cleansed," meaning that all 10 lepers received the same blessing, received the same healing, okay? So there was nothing in the healing that the Samaritan received that differentiated him from the other nine. So we know that that's not the case. What we do know, the only clue that we have about why the Samaritan came back, is given to us in verse 14, okay? And it says, when he saw, that's not verse 14, I'm sorry, verse 15, okay? The one thing that sets apart this person from the other nine, at least according to this passage, is verse 15. It says, "One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice." And that's the first point of today's message, is that thanksgiving begins with us seeing. Okay? The only difference that we know that the text gives us is that this person saw something that the other nine didn't. This person saw God's healing in his life as an act of mercy. And when he saw that he was healed, when he saw that Jesus did have pity on him, when he saw that Jesus healed him in mercy, when he saw that, his heart overflew in thanksgiving, and he returned. He stopped from what he was doing, came and found Jesus, fell on Jesus' feet, and worshiped him, praising God. Seeing, thanksgiving begins with seeing. And the Gospel of Luke talks a lot about seeing things. Rather, seeing things in the right perspective, or seeing things that we ought to see, or some people who are blind and can't see the things that are before them. So I want us to just, this is a takeaway point from this first, that verse, is that if we don't see, we're not going to be like the Samaritan and give thanks to God. Okay, so seeing leads this person to be thankful. Let me just elaborate a little bit about this point a little bit. It's one thing for the 10 lepers to receive mercy from God. It's another thing for them to see that mercy lived out in their life. It's one thing to receive something from God. It's another thing to be able to see what you received as a gift from God. And that's a huge difference. And that's a challenge for us, okay? Is when we go and live our lives, do we see what God gives us as grace of God, as the mercies of God, as the kindness of God? We can see the gift without seeing the person behind the gift, is another way of putting it. If we don't see God's work in our life, if we don't see something as being from God, we're never going to really thank God for it. It's true, and just common sense and common experience tells us that if you receive a gift from someone, right? If I get a gift from Esther and she gives me a gift, if I know it's from her, I can thank her for it, right? But if you get a gift from someone and you don't know who it's from, it's hard to give thanks properly, right? Or if you get a gift and you don't know it's a gift, it's also hard to give thanks to the person appropriately. So I want to give you guys two reasons why we as people have a hard time sometimes seeing things that God gives us. Why sometimes we're like the nine lepers who don't see, even though they received the healing, they didn't see it they didn't see it the same way the Samaritan saw it. Two reasons why we often are blind to see things the way that God wants us to see it. First is that we take things for granted. Okay, one of the reasons we can't see things is we take things for granted. One of the reasons that we are not thankful as we ought to be thankful is that we take things for granted. When you take the blessings of God for granted, we are less likely to really fall in deep appreciation to God for those things. As Christians, for example, I think one of the things that we can take for granted is like forgiveness, right? I think forgiveness is so part and parcel to our way of being in terms of sinning and asking God for forgiveness and being forgiven that we could take forgiveness for granted. We could take grace for granted. Okay, we are oblivious because we just assume it's ours and we take it for granted. What are some other things that we take for granted? What are some other things that we have not really fallen on our knees really thanking God for recently or in the recent past? Things like life, the very fact that we can breathe, right? I mean, these things that are ours all the time, we tend to not notice them as anything special because we're so accustomed to them. Let me give you one example. The Sunday worship. I mean, I talk a lot about Sunday gathering, but, you know, this is a gift, right? I mean, this is a tremendous privilege to gather with the people of God to worship the living God and to hear his word, to fellowship, to encourage one another in prayer. I mean, this is a tremendous gift. But most of us take it for granted, right? Because Sunday rolls around and we come to church and we expect church to be here. We expect there to be a lot of churches. And so we take things like that for granted. And when we take things for granted, we don't see them as precious gifts. We don't see them as wonderful gifts of God or expressions of God's grace and mercy. And when we fail to see things as God's gifts, we are not likely to give God thanks for it. When was the last time? I mean, we were overwhelmed with gratitude for the gift of being able to gather and worship God. Why? Because we often take it for granted. And what we take for granted, we can't see clearly. Another reason that we can't see things clearly, and this is just more the application part, is because, for example, in this story, being healed of leprosy is a blessing that you can readily identify as a blessing, right? Being a leper and being an outcast versus now being healed, that's a good thing. And we can say, well, I can give God thanks for that. But there are things in our life that come to us that don't come always as a blessing, but actually are means of grace. In 2 weeks, I wanted to preach on this in 2 weeks about prayer, about Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul has this wonderful testimony about a thorn in the flesh that he had, a messenger of Satan, right? And it was something that troubled him deeply enough so that he went to God in prayer to say, God, please remove this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan, because it is very difficult. It is a burden that I do not want to carry. And God says no. Jesus says no. Not just once, you know, not twice, but three times God says no. And it's hard for us at times to hear no from God or to see a messenger of Satan or see hardships or see difficulties as something from the hand of God for our benefit. But we know in Paul's testimony that the messenger Satan was there for one reason and one reason only. What was that reason? Because God wanted to make sure Paul was in his place, because God wanted to you know, keep him focused on his task. I mean, if we look at that passage, there's only one reason why God keeps that messenger Satan is because God wants Paul to have more grace. Okay? God wants Paul to have more grace. Actually, this is an entire message from 2 weeks from now, but basically, when God says no to us, this is the amazing thing about prayer, and I was so excited about this that I had to kind of, I'm sharing with you. This is the amazing thing about prayer, okay? Rather, God says yes or no, and God does say no. Please understand that God says no, okay? Which should liberate us. This really is 2 weeks' message now, but which liberates us from this fear of asking for the wrong thing. Look, have you guys ever been afraid that you're praying for the wrong thing? I have. Sometimes when I pray, I'm like, you know, am I praying for the right thing? When you're praying for, let's say, something that's like your child, your family, your job, sometimes you're like, should I pray for this? Is this right? Or maybe even if you're desperate and you're praying for traffic to clear up or parking space to open up, you're like, God, is this really what I should pray for or not? You know, it's difficult, especially if you hang around me enough, I will probably make it impossible for you to pray for things because your mind will be so befuddled with what you ought to pray for. But the wonderful thing is this. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter what you pray for in a sense, because rather God says yes or no to your prayers. You know what God wants to give behind every yes and every no? God's desire for you is grace. Behind God's answer for every prayer offered up to him, rather a yes or no on his part, is grace. If he says no, it's because he wants to give you more grace. If it says yes, it's because he wants to give you more grace. And you can see that from Paul's testimony. He says, Jesus' answer to Paul is, my grace is sufficient for you. That thorn that you're praying for me to remove, I'm going to say no. Why? Because it's going to keep you humble. And not just to keep you humble, because that humility is going to make my grace all the more evident and all the more heartfelt in your experience. I want to give you more grace, Paul, and that's why I'm going to keep that thorn on your side. So that's wonderful. A yes or no from God, behind all the answers that God gives us in prayer, is his desire is to give us grace. Isn't that liberating? That's great news. I mean, I was so excited when I was thinking about that passage and it just came down on me. But here's the thing. Sometimes the no's don't seem like a blessing. Sometimes it's hard. I don't know if Paul says, Jesus, I love you. I'm willing to lay down my life for you, but this thorn that you gave me, this messenger Satan, is bothering me. Can you please remove it? And Jesus says no. And I don't know if Paul went and said, thank you, Jesus, for that no. I see it as a blessing. Because he went again a second time. You know, it's like Jesus said no, and he's like, dang, it's still bothering me. I don't like it. It's sometimes hard to see God's answer of no or difficult times as a blessing. But they are. They can be. Don't assume that we can be thankful to God only for the good things in our life. I think part of seeing properly is being able to see challenges in our life as a blessing. Now, I know it's hard. We're limited. We're finite. And our perception is so limited. But you will be amazed what God uses, what God brings into our life, not to torture us, but to really make us dependent upon him and to lean upon his grace and to get more of his grace. God's desire for you and me is just to have us have more of him and his grace in our life. So sometimes, you know, when God answers our prayers, it's easy to say, well, thank God for that. I can see God at work. But I want to challenge you. There are things in our life right now that may be challenging. There are things in our life when God might have said no to us that are still blessings. Okay? And when we see things properly, when we don't take things for granted, when you wake up tomorrow and you don't take for granted that you actually woke up, when you don't take for granted that we would be under the wrath of God were it not for the mercies of God which are new every morning. Okay? When we don't take life for granted, when we don't take church for granted, when we don't take things for granted, our hearts will begin to see them as loving gifts of God, and we would overflow in thanksgiving. But the moment we start taking things for granted, we're not going to see. And when we don't see, we don't give thanks. And same thing with troubles and difficulties and hardships. When we don't see, we can't give God thanks properly. So that's the first lesson I think we get from the Samaritan. He saw something that the other nine didn't. And because he saw something, he comes back to Jesus and gives thanks to him. The second thing, the second, I think, takeaway from this story about the Samaritan is a question. When God blesses us, when God gives us blessings, whether it's hardships in disguise or just blessings that we can identify as blessings, and we are thankful, the question I want to ask you is, what are you really thankful for? What are we really thankful for when we say that we are thankful to God for the things that he gives us in our life? Okay? The reason I say this, I want us to look at how Jesus heals the lepers. Let me just give you a brief context of how this passage flows. Jesus is walking. In Luke, one of the key passages is that Jesus turns his eyes towards Jerusalem. That's a turning point. And when Jesus turns his eyes towards Jerusalem, meaning that he sets his eyes on his calling, which is to die for all of us, okay, and to rise again, he's journeying towards Jerusalem. And this passage tells us that during one of his journeys between Galilee and Samaria, he runs into 10 lepers. Now, leprosy is any sort of skin disease that the people had. Leprosy as a disease was generally not fatal, okay? I mean, it didn't mean a death sentence to the people who are affected by it. What leprosy did, however, more than the actual physical ailment that it brought upon, the physical symptoms, what leprosy did is it separated you from the people, because if you had leprosy or skin conditions that are described in the Torah, you were considered unclean, and you would have to declare yourself unclean, unclean, unclean. And so you weren't able to live with all the other people. You had to separate yourself. You had to be segregated from the main group of people, and you formed your own colonies. So the lepers, the 10 lepers who were outside the village, probably were from the same sort of group that were outside of the village where everybody else lived. They were segregated. They were apart from everyone else. And then they would usually stay close to the main thoroughfares, main roads where people would travel, and they would ask for alms. They would ask for charity, because a lot of times if they didn't have family that was provide for them, they had to live off the charity of others. So this is a typical case of lepers staying at a distance because they couldn't come, or they would make the person unclean. They would sort of, their uncleanliness would be passed along to the other person. They would stay at a distance and ask for almsgiving and so forth. And that's what they were doing. They're at a distance. Now, Jesus could have simply, like other times, just said, "You are healed," right? Okay? But Jesus responds to these lepers and says, "Go show yourself to the priest." Okay? Go show yourself to the priest. So what I read from this passage, and this is reading a little bit into it, but I think there's some merit to this, is that I think Jesus understands what the real devastation, what the real consequence of leprosy is. He understands that it's more than just a physical ailment. When Jesus says, "Go show yourself to the priest," what is he saying? He's saying, if you are healed and you go show yourself to the priest and the priest declares you as whole, that you no longer have leprosy, then you are now going to be able to come back to the community. You are no longer going to be ostracized and segregated, but you are now going to be able to come back to your families and to your neighbors, and you get to be part of the people of God once again. You're no longer a lower tier of humanity sitting on the outskirts of the towns and villages. You get to go back to being fully human. So Jesus, I think, understands that the devastation of leprosy is not just that you have a skin disease, but that it separates you from everyone else. And so when he says, "Go show yourself to the priest," I think what he's saying is, I understand the fullness of your disease, and I'm going to restore you. I'm going to heal you of all of the symptoms and the consequences of that disease. So he says, "Go show yourself to the priest." So they go. And I'm sure that they were healed, and that the priest examined them, and as they were whole, they were allowed to go back into their villages. The Samaritan, who saw that he was healed at some point, comes back to Jesus and gives thanks to Jesus. And the question that, it's not in the text explicitly, but the question that I wonder about is, what were the nine thinking? What were the nine thankful for? Okay? Now, if we read just from the, between the lines that Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priests, and that they were indeed healed, because Jesus says all 10 were healed. If we assume that things happen as Jesus said they happened, that they were healed, the 9 probably were most thankful that they could return back to the villages, to the towns, to their families, to their loved ones, right? They were thankful for what the gift brought to their life. The Samaritan, however, takes pause and goes back, praising God, falling at the feet of Jesus, and thanking Jesus. And I think what that goes to say is, I think the Samaritan understood of something a little bit beyond what just the other 9 did, is that the Samaritan understood that what he was thankful for was not necessarily that he was going back to his normal life, but that he experienced the mercy of God, that God heard him, that God had mercy on him through this person, Jesus. What this Samaritan, I believe, was thankful that separated him from the other 9 is that he was thankful for the mercy of God expressed through this person, this man, Jesus Christ. And this leads to this question. What are we thankful for? Okay? What are we thankful for? When we say we are thankful for our families, what is that we're really thankful for? That we have someone to love and someone to love us? That we're not alone? When we say that we are thankful for our health, what are we saying to God when we say, God, thank you for my health? Does that mean that I'm thankful that I'm not decrepit? That I don't have pain? Are we thankful because I'm not suffering? That I can go out and enjoy life? Is that what we're ultimately thanking God for? Or is there something else? And I think the challenge for us is that we know well how to give thanks to God for something. But we don't know how to translate that to the actual giver to give thanks to God for who he is. Because when all is said and done, I think when God, who God is and what God does cannot be separated, okay? I just want to say that up front. We can't love God in the abstract. Because we will not know that God is holy except from what he does, that he judges unrighteousness. We will not know that God is merciful except that he has shown us mercy, okay? Who God is and what God does are inseparable. You can't love God in the abstract, okay? I just want to get that out there. But I don't think we're good at making connections from what he does to who he is. Meaning, if God blesses us, okay, if God blesses you and me by providing us our daily bread, we know how to give God thanks for food in front of us. We say, God, thank you for this food. But we don't always follow that up to see God as a faithful provider and say, God, thank you for being a faithful provider. Because as much as I'm thankful for this food, what this food really points to is that you are a faithful provider. And for that, I am ultimately thankful for. Do you guys understand the difference? It's easy to thank God for forgiveness. God, you wash my sins away. Even as we're singing today, you know what I realized? I says, it doesn't, you know, there are weeks I come to church. We all know this, right? I'm preaching to the choir. We all experience this. You have a good week. On Sunday, you come. You feel a little bit more energized to worship. You have a bad week, right? You come a little bit like you're just kind of going through the motions. And you know, it's always, every Sunday, God just reminds me. He goes, it really doesn't matter what kind of week you had, because it's his righteousness that just covers me and allows me to worship. It's his righteousness that covers me. And so I can be thankful for God for forgiveness. But when I stop there and say, God, thank you for washing my sins away. I felt so dirty and guilty, but now my guilt is gone. I don't have to live under this condemnation and guilt. If we stop there, we miss the point. Because that forgiveness has to, it's like a sun ray that points towards God as a merciful God. And what I'm ultimately thankful for is not only that his acts of mercy, but that God himself is merciful. And we rarely thank God for who he is. I think it's very difficult for us just to thank people for who they are, not for what they do. It's easy. You know, if someone invites me to dinner, you know, I was invited by, Esther and I were invited by James and Mia for dinner recently. So I can say at the end of the evening, that was a great dinner. Thank you for dinner. Thank you for your hospitality. Okay? But it's hard for me to go from there to say, I really want to thank you for who you are, because you are a generous person. I mean, I know that sounds, that's just laughing at me. I know that sounds, yeah, we're not, that, yeah, you, it will sound awkward at that moment at the end of dinner. James, it's not just the dinner I'm thankful for, it's what the dinner points to, is your generosity. You'd be like, oh God. Okay. Point taken. But it is true. We know how to give thanks for things. We don't know how to give thanks for what the things points to. Really? Is it really the dinner that I'm thankful for James for providing? Some cow meat and vegetables and versus other kinds of meat? It was really good. But I'm saying, is that really the heart of my Thanksgiving? Is because he provided me some sustenance and food? Or is it because I'm thankful for who he is? Okay. So simply is this. My question to you is this. Is when we're thankful for things, when we pray today and say we're thankful for this, we need to be like the Samaritan and say, am I thankful because God returns me to normal life? Because God preserved me from this catastrophe and all of these things? They're all good things, but they ought to always point back to the mercies of God and say, I am ultimately thankful to God for who he is, because these things that I experience tell me that God is good. They tell me that God is kind. And they point to me that God is patient and merciful and faithful and loving and just and holy. And for that, for having a God like that, that's what I'm ultimately thankful for, right? So the question is, what are we truly thankful for, okay? And lastly, being thankful leads to a deeper experience of the blessings that God intends for us, okay? And I want to sort of end with this last verse. If you look at the last verse in the passage, it says, Jesus, starting with verse 17, says, Jesus says, we're not all 10 cleansed. Where the other nine? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. And that's an interesting way to close this passage, right? It is interesting because wasn't he already well? Wasn't he already whole? Isn't that the reason he came back and gave thanks? And so why would Jesus sort of say at the end, in response to this man giving thanks to him, giving proper thanks, falling on his knees, praising God, and thanking Jesus, why would he say, rise and go, your faith has made you well? Well, I think there's something about Thanksgiving that opens us up to experience God's blessing in a deeper way. Not experience more blessings, but experience it in a deeper way. What I mean is this. Did this man, the Samaritan, receive more blessings because he came back? Perhaps, but the text doesn't really say so. It simply says that he was healed like the other 10 were. But by coming back and hearing Jesus say, rise and go, your faith has made you well, I think he got into a deeper level of the blessing that he received from God. I think he went into a deeper appreciation of what it is that he received from God. Okay, and that is to say that if we are thankful, if we see things clearly, okay, if number one, if we see things clearly, and if we are truly thankful for the things that we ought to be thankful for, that meaning that all Thanksgiving ought to point eventually towards the person of God, okay? If we see and we are thankful to God for who he is, and we act out in faith in that Thanksgiving, okay? Thanksgiving, another point that I didn't really go over in depth is, Jesus says that this act of coming back and giving thanks is an act of faith. So if we, in faith, give thanks to God because we see and because of who he is, I think what God is saying to us is that your understanding and depth of that blessing will grow deeper, right? And what I mean is this. God's mercies. We know what God's mercies are here. But I think is when we become thankful, we understand his mercies a little bit deeper and deeper and deeper. God's forgiveness, the same thing. And when we understand what it means for God to forgive us, we go in a little deeper and deeper. I was trying to think of an illustration that would maybe help us understand this a little bit more concretely. And I couldn't come up with really an illustration that I really said like that nails it. But let me share with you what I could come up with in this, in the light of the feast that we're going to have in a few minutes. It'd be something like this. Once again, this is an imperfect illustration analogy, but I think it will help us a little bit. Let's say 10 of us were invited to a wonderful feast, okay, a Thanksgiving feast, 10 of us. And all 10 of us go to this feast, and it's a feast, it's a beautiful dinner table laid out for us by this host. It's got vegetables and meats and fruits, and it's wonderfully cooked, and the presentation is wonderful, the fellowship is great, and we enjoy this wonderful dinner. And all 10 of us say thank you to the host and leave, right? But let's say one person, okay, let's say one person is particularly moved in gratitude and comes back the next day to really say, I just want to thank you for that dinner because I was so deeply encouraged by your hospitality and your generosity. And let's say he comes back and he takes the time to come back to really express gratitude because there's something in his heart that says, I need to express this. I need to let this person know that I'm thankful because that night was so wonderful. That gift was so precious. And then in doing so, that person tells them that feast that you ate last night, I planted every one of those vegetables and fruits that you ate. And I cultivated it in the last 6 months, okay? And everything that you saw, I spent my energy and my time in doing it because I cared about the 10 people. I cared about this dinner. I invested not just one day, but I invested months into this. Well, your appreciation of the dinner hopefully would grow, right? Because you learn something more about it. I think what Jesus is saying to the Samaritan is not so much that you get an extra dose of blessing because you came back. What he's trying to say is, I think you understand what it means to be well. I think you understand. See, the other 9, they just think they got healthy and they could go back to their home. That's the extent of their understanding of this blessing they received from Jesus. Jesus, I think, is saying to the Samaritan, your understanding of this blessing is deeper. And therefore, the blessing is more meaningful. When we have a thankful spirit, we grow in experiencing God's grace much more deeply. A spirit of gratitude is probably one of those catalysts in our lives that actually helps us really live our lives in faith. A spirit of gratitude, a spirit of seeing and recognizing and giving God thanks. And here, I want to say this. Gratitude is not sentiment. Okay, it can begin with a sentiment. Okay, gratitude is not mere sentiment, saying, I feel thankful inside. Gratitude is taking time to express in a worshipful way. It's taking time to actually say thank you and to say thank you in a proper way. That's the true meaning of gratitude. It's not just, oh, I feel warm and fuzzy inside, right? So in a challenge to all of us, when was the last time we really gave God proper gratitude and thanksgiving, right? Because we can feel thankful to God, and I want to simply say to you, that is not really fully gratitude. That's just sentiment. That sentiment has to lead out in faith to an act of thanksgiving and worship, okay? But if we live in a spirit of gratitude, it is that spirit of gratitude in and of itself is a blessing, okay? It not only allows us to experience God's blessing more deeply, the spirit of gratitude in itself is a blessing because the spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving guards our hearts from complaint. It guards our hearts from grumbling and envy and covetousness and greed. It helps us. This is what gratitude helps us. If we have a spirit of gratitude, if we cultivate gratitude, one of the blessings, one of the ways that we experience God's blessing more deeply by really practicing the discipline of gratitude is, or thanksgiving, is that we get to focus on what is truly important, okay? What are one of the benefits? So, you know, this Samaritan, what are one of the perks that he experienced? I think one of the blessings that he received is he understood what was truly important in his life. More important than just going back to his normal life, there's something else, is that God hears, that God is merciful, that this man, Jesus, gave me God's mercy, okay? When we practice a spirit of gratitude, we could focus on what is truly important, and we get to kind of overcome this bondage to the trivial, right? So much of our unhappiness is bound to the trivial, right? I know this because the team that I root for, USC, lost yesterday, and I was angry, and wanted to go on the forum and say all these bad things about Lane Kiffin and the coaching. And I'm like, why? I said, well, you know, it's nice to enjoy sports, but I'm not going to expend my energy, my emotional energy on this loss. I'm just going to, it is what it is. I think when you have a spirit of gratitude, it does help you focus on what is truly important, right? It's not just, it's not friends for friends' sake. It's what it represents. It's God's grace to you, God's gift. So these are the three things that I want to just share with you today on Thanksgiving Sunday. Let us see things clearly. If we don't see, we're not going to give thanks. Don't take things for granted. Don't always assume that it's only the blessings that we ought to give thanks for. Things that we ought to be thankful for come in many forms and shapes. And sometimes even the challenges and the difficulties are reasons to give thanks. And the second question is, what are you really thankful for? Don't stay at being thanking God for your job, for your health, for your family, for this church. Don't stay there. Let that point towards who God is, okay? Let the thanksgiving flow to who God is, because ultimately what we are thankful for is that we have an awesome God, okay? That we experience through the things he does in our lives. And finally, if we cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving, we will enter into a deeper understanding, a deeper season of blessing. The blessing of friendship will mean more. I mean, I think we'll get more out of friendship when we are thankful for it to God in the right way. Right? This church, this community, this blessings that is ours through this gathering this Sunday will mean so much more when we cultivate the right spirit of thanksgiving. And I pray that that will be ours in Christ. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Sunday and for the many blessings that are in our life. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us move into a season of thanksgiving, a life of thanksgiving. May all that was said today, that is from you, may it be planted in our hearts and may it bear fruit by the work of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm going to invite Pastor Jen. This is the third Sunday. We're just going to do a time of corporate prayer together.